today we're going to look at Jesus as the rock of the church. And so we're going to look here in Matthew chapter 16. And you have to be concerned about other people. When you look at the Bible and you study it and you know of others that see things a little different than you do, you have to have a concern about them, especially when we think about the salvation of their souls. And so we need to show that concern to them if we can, and it's always better to do that from the Bible. Let them read it for themselves, and then they can judge whether they, and you also, you examine yourself when you're teaching someone else, and so you examine yourself by the Word of God as well when you see differences in one another, and you have that concern for one another. I remember a lady that went all the way. She was here in Springfield, and she was. We were studying as a group, and it was about salvation lessons. We were looking at some salvation lessons that you would present to someone else. And she got so inspired with that and studying it that she even flew out to Denver to talk to a friend. And so you see such great examples before you. And I even had a Catholic friend at work, even that one time I noticed that he wasn't at work, and when he came back I asked him, well, I thought maybe you retired, where you been all this time? And what he was what they call a godparent to some boy. He was a god, and this was his godson, if you will. So that you're trying to take care of, you know, you knew when you were, they were younger, and you're trying to help them be a godparent, I think is what they call him. But anyway, he had went all the way to Florida to see that young man because he was having some kind of difficulties and problems in his life. So I don't know, I'm going to send this, some of the things I've been looking at, to my friend, and I hope I don't have to go out there. But I definitely have two examples to look at to show that we need to be that concerned about one another. So here in Matthew chapter 16, starting at verse 13. And when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" So they said, "Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." And he said to them, "But whom do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood have not revealed this to you, but my Father that is in who is in heaven. And I say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give to you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he commanded his disciples that they should tell no one that he was Jesus the Christ. From that time, Jesus began to show to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised the third day. In all this, text that we've read so far, we see that Christ asked Peter in verse 15, "Whom do you say that I am?" Or asked all the disciples, "Whom do you say that I am?" And that, all the way through on down to verse 21 and really even beyond, he's dealing with him being the Christ. You know, he says there in verse 21, you know, "Tell no one that I am the Christ." So from the question and Peter's answer all the way down, he's talking about himself there. Not Peter, not anyone else. About him being the Christ, the Son of the living God. And we can also, if we had time, we could go on down verse 27. It says, "For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father and with his angels, and then he will reward each according to his works. Assuredly, I say to you, there are some of you standing here who shall not taste death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." So we see there in verse 27, he's the Son of Man, and it's his Father. It also says in verse 28 that the Son of Man will come in his kingdom. So in verse 28, we have it's his kingdom. And also there in verse 18, it's his church or my church, he says there. So again, the context here is talking about him and what he possesses. It's not talking about Peter. In verse 16 again, Peter's answer was even revealed to him, by Jesus' Father. Verse 17, Peter knew very little about the kingdom church at this time. We can see that especially in verse 22 and 23. He rebukes Christ there for what he said. And the other apostles had a mistaken understanding of it as well. Keep your place there and turn with me to Acts chapter 1. In Acts chapter 1, starting at verse 6, "Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him," it's talking about the apostles there, "they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And so there again, from the point here on down through, even though they were with Christ, they just didn't understand the concept of the kingdom or the church. So we have here in verse 16, he says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And then in verse 18, we have, "You are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church." Now, if you'll notice here, our question is Peter the rock the church is built upon? Well, for one thing, we have two definitions there in the Greek words. Peter's name is Petros in the Greek, and the rock that the church was built upon is Petra. And so we have two different Greek words for both of them. So then it's Peter the rock. There's a difference between the two. He's Peter Petros, and Vine's definition of that is that Petros is a proper name of Peter. It's a detached stone or a boulder that might be thrown. Now, Thayer, in his definition, he says it's a large fragment. Then next in verse 18, "On this rock I will build my church," Jesus here uses the Greek word Petra. And so this rock, this Petra, Vine states, denotes a massive stone, a massive rock. And Thayer adds it's a massive living stone. So therefore the church is Petra. The rock of the church is Petra. It's larger than Peter Petros. So he's a smaller rock, if you will, than what the church is built upon by the definition of the words that it was first wrote in, and that being the Greek language. Notice also here in verse 18, he says, "On this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." So Jesus is a rock that the church is built upon because he's a son of the living God. And the church will prevail over Hades because the rock first prevailed over Hades. Christ himself prevailed over Hades, therefore the church will as well. Look at Acts chapter 2 with me. And we'll be back in Matthew chapter 16 in a moment. Here in Acts chapter 2, verse 27, this is actually Peter speaking and giving this sermon here. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 27, Peter says, "For you will not leave my soul in Hades, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You have made known to me the ways of life. You will preserve me fully of joy in your presence. Men and brethren, let me speak freely to you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had has sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his body, according to the flesh, he would raise up the Christ to set on his throne. He foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God has raised, of which we are all witnesses." So Peter there even understood that Christ was the one that prevailed over Hades because of the resurrection from the dead. And also that would make him the rock, because the church is built upon the rock, and the church would prevail against Hades as well, because that rock first did. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 18, it says, "He is the head of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead." So him being the head of the church from the beginning, that would be talking about his death and resurrection, that he was the firstborn from the dead. That would be that Hadean world that spoke there in verse 18 of Matthew chapter 16. That the church is built upon, because it will prevail over Hades, because that rock did as well, and that rock was Christ. You know, Peter is like us. He was just flesh. He could not prevail against death on his own. But Christ died, and we, through the grace of God, are allowed to prevail over death because our Lord prevailed over death. We can only do it by going through him, by obeying his gospel. Now, verse 19 of Matthew chapter 16. "And I will give to you the keys of the kingdom, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Now, Jesus the Rock still has control over the keys of the kingdom, even though he's allowing Peter to bring the gospel, the keys of the gospel, to the Jews first. That's in Acts chapter 2. And then also Peter was able to bring the gospel to the Gentiles in Acts chapter 10 and Acts chapter 11, that being the household of Cornelius there. Now, also the apostles were the ones who were inspired to teach the word of God, and they wrote it down, and other inspired men also wrote it down. In Hebrews chapter 2, it says, "Therefore we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest they drift away. For if the word spoken through angels prove steadfast in every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at first begun to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? God also bearing witness, both with signs and wonders, and with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to His own will. So those inspired men, they confirmed the word that it was from God by the miracles that the Holy Spirit allowed them to do. And particularly we have the apostles. In Acts chapter 2, it was Peter. That's recorded anyway. In Acts chapter 10 and 11, when he preached to Cornelius the Gentile. And we have this word with us now. In James chapter 1 and 25, James calls it the perfect law of liberty. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, it says the perfect will of God. This word perfect in both places, that means perfect, but it also means complete. So we have the complete word of God. We have the complete perfect law of liberty. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, Peter says there, he's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him. Peter had all things that pertain to life and godliness, and we do as well. And so we have all things. He also went on to say that in that same chapter in verse 19, we have also more sure word of prophecy as well. You know, those that were, the Old Testament was veiled, and the New Testament removes that veil. So we have the word of God. We have it fulfilled from the Old Testament prophecies in the New Testament, and then also we have Christ's will given to us there. And so it's been delivered to us, and we have it to this day. Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 10, at verse 8 it says there, if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you, let him be accursed. So it's that firmly confirmed to us today that if anyone, any man or even an angel from heaven comes to us, well, anything they would say, we need to look at the light of the Scripture, and we need to follow the Scripture instead of that. So that's how strongly it's been confirmed to us, and we have it to this day. Now you look at this bounding and loosening. It states here that he gave to Peter. All the English translations I have, it always footnotes that will have been bound. Let me go back to it here. Will have been bound on earth. Will have been bound in heaven. If it was loosed upon the earth, it will have been loosed in heaven. So it there shows that it comes first from heaven, just like what I've mentioned about the revealed word. You know, God brought it to us. He delivered it to us, and now we have it in written form. So whatever happens upon the earth needs to be directed by what happened in heaven, what was given from heaven. And so that's how this needs to be understood. It came from heaven, so anything that's loosed and bound upon the earth is directed by heaven. And then nowadays that'd be by the word of God, since we have it completed before us. You might remember that Christ himself, well, that's revealed to us in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 18, that Christ has control over the keys of Hades and of death as well. So he had control over the keys of the kingdom, and also the keys of death and Hades as well. Turn with me to a moment and keep your place there in Matthew 18, chapter 18 of Matthew. At verse 18. Here Jesus tells the disciples, Surely I say to you, whatsoever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Now he speaks that to all of them. You see from verse 1, at that time the disciples came to Jesus saying, and all the way down through from verse 1 all the way to verse 18, he's speaking to them. And so he repeats what he just said, what he said to Peter in Matthew chapter 16 in verse 18, that, you know, whatsoever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. So he's gave it to all of them, actually. Now, I don't know if that means the keys were given as well. This bounding and loosening power was given to all of them. So we need to consider that as well. Definitely the other apostles spoke and taught men as well. Here in verse 20 of Matthew chapter 16 again. It says, tell no one that he was the Christ. Why? Verse 21. Because he's going to suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and scribes and be killed and raised from the dead the third day. So he's going to suffer many things from them. He's going to be rejected by the builders, in other words. Those that had built, he's going to be rejected by them. They didn't accept that he was Christ. And also, he's going to be raised from the dead. That goes back to him prevailing over death and Hades. And therefore, the church would prevail over death and Hades as well. Verse 22 and 23, we see by that Peter did not understand, nor did he accept this. He rebuked Christ. He understood at the, you know, when we read about him in the book of Acts, especially Acts 8, Acts 2, and Acts 10 and 11, he understood then. But he didn't understand it at that time. And he also understood in 1 Timothy chapter 1. I'm sorry, 1 Timothy chapter 2, starting at verse 4. Coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by the men, but chosen by God and precious. You also, as living stones, are built upon a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is also contained in the Scriptures, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious, but to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble being disobedient to the word to which they also were appointed. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light, who once were a people, but now are the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. This word precious, this word stone here, is the same in all these verses. So in verse 8, when he talks about it being a chief cornerstone, elect and precious, that's the same stone as the one that they reject in verse 7. I'm sorry, I read verse 6. He's a chief cornerstone, he's precious, elect and precious. In verse 6, that's the same stone, as in verse 7, the stone that was rejected by the builders. And the reason for that is in one case, verse 6, they're obedient. They believe and they were obedient to the gospel. So Christ became a chief cornerstone and precious to them. But if they reject that teaching, as verse 7 says, they were disobedient and they rejected that chief cornerstone. It's the same thing in verse 8 as well with Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18. The rock of offense in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 8, a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, that's the same Greek word, Petra, that the church is built upon. In Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18. So he's a rock to us who are obedient. He's the rock that the church is built upon to us who are obedient. But in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 8, he's a rock of offense to those who reject it, who are disobedient to him. And so, again, he's that rock that the church is built upon. Not Peter. He's the rock that is Petra, and Peter is the rock that is Petros, a smaller rock. And here it speaks of him being that chief cornerstone. And Peter's the one that said this, that Christ is the chief cornerstone. And so all the rest are built upon him and not Peter. In closing here, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Starting at verse 8, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. And all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. All ate the same spiritual food, and all drank from the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with most of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. There in verse 4, the spiritual rock that followed them was the rock, that rock was Christ. That's the same Greek word as Petra that the church was built upon there in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18. Speaking here of Christ, so it had to be speaking of Christ in Matthew chapter 16 as well, that the church is built upon. He's been the rock throughout the whole, both the Old and New Testament. And so he's the rock that we build our faith upon as well. You might remember it said there that that he gave those keys to Peter there, and the other apostles taught his will as well. If we're going to overcome Hades, we need to believe upon that rock that Christ is. There being here today, that if you believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, the Son of the living God, if you're willing to repent of that past sinful life that you lived, and now you're willing to follow him, no matter where he leads you, if you're willing to confess that faith in him as being Jesus, the Son of God, we can baptize you this morning for the remission of your sins. And then also you'll have that hope and that help as you continue on in this life here. Because we're not going to evade death without his help. The death of the grave I'm speaking of. We will die, but we will be resurrected again. Because he prevailed over Hades, we will too. There be a brother and sister that needs the prayers of the church at this time. This would be an opportunity to let that be made known as we stand together and sing.